Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, this coming Shabbos morning, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Tazria, but of course, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's the Yom HaShmini from last week's Kriyas HaTorah, so therefore, we will also have the additional readings for the Maftir of Rosh Chodesh, and for Parshas HaChodesh, HaChodesh Azeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, this is the beginning and the excitement of Torah HaKdosha. The Torah, according to Rav Yitzchak, could have started with this mitzvah. We have a lot to cover and a lot of exciting points that come out as a result. So let's start with Parshas Tazria, where the Torah off the bat starts off, Ishaki Sazria, when a woman gives birth. And Rashi notes that in the same way that a man was created after all creatures, his Torah is taught after all of theirs as well. Now, what's the connection between man's creation, Parshas Bereishis, and Isha Ki Sazria, the concept of the Torah over here, as Rashi describes it? So Rav Volba Zatzal quoted the Maharal, should just be noted. There is a sefer about to hit the market in the United States, it's out in Eretz Yisrael. It's the Shiuri Chumash of Rav Volba on Sefer Vayikra. And just like the volume on Bereishis and on Shmos, which are both phenomenal volumes, for Sefer Vayikra has proven, at least to me thus far, to be an incredible volume as well. So Rav Volba Zatzal quoted the Maharal, who noted that once Torah, when we talk about Torah Sa'adam, we're defining that the concept of a Torah defines how it will act or exist. And that's similar to creation too, as it too defined the nature of creation. In other words, Rav Volba explains, the Torah is the completion of a person. It's the shlemus of the person. And man had to come last in that it has more to complete. Man has a bigger Torah than a chatas, than an asham, than a behema, than a chaya. And any missing aspect of man's Torah can leave him, even if not alive, but it can leave him alive, but like a behema, or worse. And so, Isha ki sazria zos toras hayoledas, the Torah is trying to teach us a critical lesson, and the critical lesson is man comes afterwards, he has more to rise up to. He has to be like the behema, the chaya, the oaf, and then some. Excuse me, the Torah continues, uvayom hashmini yimol besar or laso, that on the eighth day you should have a bris. And the Medrash, which can be found in the Agud Shimoni in Yirmiyahu, notes that there was once upon a time that Shabbos and Mila had a debate as to who was bigger. Was Shabbos bigger or was Mila bigger? And Mila won the argument, based on the argument that Mila supersedes Shabbos when they co-occur. If you have a Mila on Shabbos and you have a Shabbos to deal with, you would do the Mila Bismana on Shabbos. So Rav Dessler, Zatzal, explains that this is because each one represents a unique aspect. Shabbos is an opportunity to infuse the physical with the spiritual. Mila, on the other hand, is the removal of the physical. And while both processes are crucial in our world, if one needs to be chosen over the other, a person has to remove himself in order to preserve Kedusha, and that idea trumps the merger in order to infuse Kedusha into the mundane. You can't go too far in. You go too far in and you lose yourself, then you haven't gained. So Mila has to be first, a person has to be solid in his deos, and then afterwards, he can go further. This becomes a very exciting topic. We're hitting the Pesach season, and we argue called Dechven Yese V'Yecho. And on the other side, we have to be careful about Deos. We're told, Ubimlos Yimei Tahara Levein Olevas, for a son or a daughter. And when the days are completed, Ubimlos. So earlier, the child was referred to as a Zachar or a Nekeva. Zos Taras Ayoledas La Zachar or La Nekeva. Why the change now? So Rav Shalom Shvadron Zatzal suggested that the answer is within the word Tahara. For until a person is in a state of Tahara, he or she is behaving in a more physical, almost animalistic style. It's an instinctual style. But once the Yemei Tahara are upon us, we realize and we relate to one another in a more human manner, with strong familial connections that raise our genders into family roles. And so therefore, we no longer speak about a Zachor or a Nekeva, we now all of a sudden start talking about a Bain or a Bas. We then enter, for the rest of the parasha, most of the dinim of Tzaras HaAdam, the Negate Tzaras. And so, of course, there are a lot of dinim that come out, and a lot of rabbis talk about Lashon Hara, because, of course, Al Shiva Dvarim HaNegoyim Boim. But really, in the context, there is so much to understand just about the concepts of Taras as well. Like, for instance, when we're told in regard to one of the Negoim, Kulo Hafach Lavan, that if the Nega turns totally white, Torahu, the individual is Torah. Now, if Taras exists when a white nega appears, why is it that when the entire body turns white, that the person is Torah? So the Chafetz Chaim had a very exciting idea. Chafetz Chaim suggested that when a person sits outside of the campus in Mitzora, he might think that until the entire body is white, maybe this is just a false positive. That idea prevents him from doing tshuva. However, when the whole body turns white, the person immediately sees the error of his ways, and he's already on the road to mending. And that's a concept that we have to hold on to. B'his galach, we're told he should be shaved. V'esa nesek lo yigalech, but the nesek should not be shaved. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains that the reason behind the idea of not shaving the nesek is the idea that when Hashem sends a punishment for a person, it's good for the person to suffer from the punishment in order to learn a lesson. So he adds that the proper way to handle this is to daven to Hashem to save him. So Rapam Zatzal learned that part of the idea of the punishment is to grow from the experience. If one doesn't grow from the experience, then just having a punishment is mere torture. And that's something that needs to be worked on and held back. And so what happens to the mitzora? We're told, Hatzarua Shapohanega, the tzarua, the one who has the tzaras, Begadav Yufrumim, his clothing should be torn, Verosho Yeparua, his hair should be uncovered, or he would wear a special mitzora hat. That's a difference of opinion. Ve'alsafam Yate, and Ve'tame Tame Yikra. So the Gemara in Moikatan compares the actions of the mitzora. They're very similar to the Nihugim, the Minhagim of the Avel. And the Gemara Moikat notes that it applies to the Avel and it applies to the mitzora. It also applies to the one who's in Cherim. And Mariv Rabbi Rav Shechter would often point out that the Mitzorah and the one in Cherim have the obligations to observe Shiva for themselves, so to speak. Why? Since they put themselves into the situation. You need to keep the Nihugi Avelus on yourself, as opposed to the Nifter, who has the relatives keep the Nihugi Avelus for them. And Rav Shechter would say, unlike the Avel, the Mitzorah continues in his situation and in his practices, even on Yontif. He has a responsibility to remain with these Nihugim. He has separated himself from the Tzibur. And so therefore, what right does he have to argue that the Tzibur's obligation of Simcha should cancel himself out? A person has a responsibility to understand that. We're told, Badad Yeshev, the Mitzorah sits alone. And Rashi explains that he sits alone because that's what he inspired in other people. He split apart husbands, and he split apart wives, and he split apart friends, and he split apart neighbors. So the late, great Nevardika Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Avram Yafin Zatzal, explained that by nature, we as human beings are distinguishers and separatists. Now normally, that trait is to be utilized for us to separate ourselves from Gashmius, to hold ourselves back. However, if we don't use the nature in that way, by definition, then we're going to have to become separated in the manner of the Mitzorah, who separated against as well. If we don't learn of our responsibility to cut back on things and separate ourselves from Gashmius, from gossip, from other things, so then the idea crops up on us, and we will have to learn from it. Finally, in the special Amafti that we lay in the Shabbos, we will read about Parshas HaChodesh. And Rabbi Tendler, Shalita, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, noted that the concept of declaring Rosh Chodesh is an affirmation of the authority of Beis Din to interpret, protect, and administer Torah authority. Now, Rabbi Tendler would point out to us that it's that authority that the Hellenists sought to undermine when they forbade keeping Rosh Chodesh. It was also that power that was reserved for those who are not easily swayed by hedonism that was taken away from Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, where the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis notes that when Rabbi Elazar ben Arach spent some time at the waters of the Dumaisis River, and then which had was a very comfortable recreational vacation spot, and he really took it in. When he came back, they gave him an aliyah, and instead of reading Achodesh Azelochem, he read Acheresh Hayalibam. And the question has to be asked, how could this Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, about whom we read in Pirkei Avos, that if the whole world was on one side and he was on the other, he would be machriya them? How could it be that this individual, who was the top Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, where Bechlal Devrechem Devarav, where he includes everything in the other words, how could it be that he should lose and forget all of his Torah from one vacation? Says Rabbi Tendler, the declaration was an awareness, Acherish Ayolibam, was an awareness that he needed to turn a deaf ear to Hidon, lest the voice of Hashem become less audible to him. And that's an essential lesson if we're going to be Marben Yitzias Mitzrayim's story and appreciate all of the special components to it. On the one hand, we are commanded, Yisader Adam Shulchano BeKelim Noim. We have a responsibility on the Seder night to set the table with beautiful Kelim. Some argue that this may be part of the Kiyum of Cheirus that is understood in the concept of Haseba. But on the other side of the argument, a person needs to understand that if he's going to take that possibility, and he's going to go ahead and be Marbe in the Yitzias Mitzrayim story, he has to be able to realize that that's the Iker in life. Finally, we read the Haftorah, which is also a special Haftorah, and in the context, we read Uvachagim Uvamoadim, and the Yechezkel HaNavi identifies all the different times that we come into the Mikdash, and Rav Zalman Melamed Shlita, the great author of the Pnei Halacha, noted that we use three different names for Yamim Tovim. We talk about Chag, and Moed, and Regel, and Rav Melamed points out that each denotes a different aspect of the celebration. Chag refers to the carbon aspect of the holiday. Moed points to the idea that we rendezvous with Hashem at this time. It's the time of His Va'adus. And Regel refers to the preparation that's needed to fully experience the holiday in its glory. We have to go up. The author of the Aksaba Kabbalah adds that Mikra Kodesh is also a name of Yantiv. The idea that calling a day Kodesh is also involved because the adding of the spiritual preparation enhances the Yontif experience. While we are preparing ourselves for the Yontif experience, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us prepare for the Yom HaGadol VeHanora, the day that Heshev Levavos HaBanim VeLevanim Alavosam. Shabbat Shalom to all.